May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the very beginning of this morning's Old Testament passage, one thing is made abundantly clear to us. Job was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. That important point is just simply not one to help set the backstory for all that is to come, and it's not just offered as the opinion of those of us among humanity. We also learned as a view shared and believed by God. You've heard about Job, of course. He says to his heavenly counsel, he is blameless and upright, one who fears God and turns away from evil. Now, anything in the scriptures that is written or spoken twice is something to which we definitely need to pay attention. And notice that this is not just the way Job acted in the past. It was and is the way he lives. He feared God and turned away from evil before. He fears God and turns away from evil still. But like any good news, bad news situation, the other shoe is about to drop. We have learned about the strength of Job's character and faithfulness, and now we are about to see it put to the test. What is surprising is from where the challenge comes, a member of God's own group of heavenly advisors. Satan, as referred to in this passage, is not the opponent we traditionally think of in the New Testament. The original Hebrew phrase is translated as the Satan, the adversary. In many respects, he's sort of a prosecutor for God. And in that advisory, adversarial role, he convinces God to allow him to prosecute the claim just made about Job, that Job is faithful and without sin. Satan certainly goes into this with confidence, a certainty that Job will curse God under the right circumstances. And it doesn't start off well for Job. From the beginning, he is covered from head to toe with sores, sitting among the ashes. Sitting among the ashes. Whenever I read this verse, I think of the novel The Great Gatsby and the scene in which F. Scott Fitzgerald describes the so-called Valley of the Ashes. A fantastic farm where ashes grow like wheat into ridges and hills and grotesque gardens, where ashes take the forms of houses and chimneys and rising smoke, and finally, with a transcendent effort, of men who move dimly and already crumbling through the powdery air. So among these ashes, among this landscape that I envision as similar to the grotesque gardens and hills and ridges of Fitzgerald's imagination, Job sits. He sits enduring his misery. He sits with his questions, and he sits enduring the pleas of his wife to simply give in and curse God. And yet, as we see, Satan is wrong. Job does not curse God. In this passage and throughout the remaining 40 chapters of this book, his faith and loyalty to God do not waver. Again, it was and is the way Job lives. Because of his inner strength and his trust, he does not yield. In a moment when any other person might have collapsed from the stress and cried out to God, "Why me?" Job does not. He simply responds, "Shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad?" It's easy to express thanks when we are blessed, when we receive the rewards that God scatters into our life like seeds on rich soil. But to be thankful for the difficulties in life? How difficult is it for any of us to get down on our knees and offer thanks, forgetting those things that we may think are mistakes or punishment or simply God being unfair when we haven't done anything to deserve it? Would anyone suffering in mind, body, or spirit instinctively want to express gratitude when most likely all we would want to do is what Job's wife asks of him and curse God? Quite often in recent months, during our services of morning prayer, we have prayed not the traditional general thanksgiving, but rather a general thanksgiving found further back in the prayer book. During our adult forum last week, one of those around the table said that they were particularly appreciative of one line from this prayer. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. That's a very good reminder. Even in the midst of the most difficult times of our lives, we should remember our dependence on God. As part of that, however, and what I don't think we always remember is that God doesn't reinforce that thought by necessarily acting directly or alone. Often, God does his most powerful work through the lives of others. Many times, those who are suffering look to God to intervene directly in their lives and may feel disappointed when he does not, only to discover that God did, in fact, act in their lives. But the action was through a telephone call from a friend or through an act of kindness by a family member. God acts through those friends that drive each other to doctor's appointments and show love to the clients of the food pantry. God acts through the warm greetings at the front door of this sacred place for those who may feel the coldness and loneliness of life. God acts through the love and the respect that you show for one another. God acts through the prayers you offer for those who don't have the strength to pray for themselves. For Jay Gatsby, Nick Carraway was the friend that stood by him through the joy of the Long Island summertime parties and the pain of the time when the world started falling down around him. Nick was steadfast in his defense of Gatsby and his refusal to turn his back on him. In the same way, you are a parish. You are a family in which each of you is steadfast in your love for one another. And through it all, despite all the trials and all the tests that God put to Job, Job was the obedient servant who stood by God, steadfast in his faith and in his refusal to turn his back on God. Job was correct in his question, "Shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad?" For in both the good and the bad, we can see God at work in the world and in the lives of all members of this earthly family. And in every one of those times, let us all give thanks for everything that God gives us. Amen.